Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you've enjoyed the content we've made so far in 2023, we're asking you to go to patreon.com/kindoffunny and toss us $10 to say thanks as a part of August's Kinda Funny Patreon pledge drive. That 10 spot would get you access to more than 300 exclusive episodes of content. And to give you a taste, we're posting one of our Patreon shows just like this each Saturday and Sunday in August. Enjoy!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Remember Blank, the show where me, Barrett, and Tim remember our favorite and sometimes least favorite video game memories alongside you. If you want to join in on the nostalgia, head on over to kindoffunny.com/rememberblank, where we're looking for your favorite E3 memory, your favorite PlayStation conference memory, your favorite Final Fantasy memory, your favorite Street Fighter memory, and oh so much more. We need you for future episodes, so write in for free at kindoffunny.com/rememberblank. Today's headline is ripped from the Kinda Funny Games Cast review of The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. We are saying, let's remember your Zelda game. There's always one that I leave open to interpretation, mm-hmm. Tim. So when I say, Tim, tell me about your Zelda game. What do you do?
I love that question. I love being on the show my very first time.
What an idiot, jackass. Bye, Barrett. Thanks for joining us. Last time.
Thank you, Barrett.
You're an audio listener. Okay right Tim now, actually. Has spilled LaCroix on the table.
But it's okay. It's nicely congealing in this little area here. Thank you so much.
It is not running to the hills. Sitting right there.
You know, this leads into Wind Waker, a lot of water. But no, Wind Waker is not my answer.
Okay.
My answer, when you asked that, my first gut instinct is probably not what you'd expect. Thank you so much.
I honestly have no idea. I have no guess from you on what
it would
be, going to be.
The Oracle games.
Oracle Season and such?
Yes, I would say that those are my Zelda. They were really the first one that I got into, because I think that Pokemon kind of eased me into the understanding of that type of game. Because when we were little kids, Kevin and I really first got into video games because his mom would take us to garage sales, and we would, growing up in the 90s, it was the best time to get into video games, because all the people with the NES were moving on to college and stuff and getting rid of it. So we both scored massively by being able to get an NES with just every game in the catalog to be able to play. And popping in, of course, there was something tantalizing about those gold cartridges. You know, you see them, they stood out so much. You're like, yo, this is awesome. Let's try out Legend of Zelda. And immediately we're overwhelmed. There was words. There was
action heavy as you jump straight into it.
Yeah, kind of a lack of direction, especially with the first one. Even the second one, the platforming stuff felt a bit more familiar, but it was very, very open in a way that was intimidating. So Zelda I kind of put on the back burner, but because of playing Pokemon on the Game Boy, I was like, oh, I'm into this. Seeing the Oracle games kind of get promoted heavily back in 1998, I was like, I'm here for these ones. And I liked the two different versions. And again, I think there was a nice Pokemon through line to me too.
Sure. That sense of familiarity with a lot of the same kind of character designs and things like that for Pokemon, for sure.
So Oracle really got me in. Then it wasn't until the GBA version of the port of Link to the Past where I played that. I'm like, oh, baby. Yeah. This is where it's really good. But yeah, my first answer, the Oracle games.
You're far from alone. Dear Sixlet wrote into kindoffunny.com/rememberblank just like you can and says, Oracle of Ages and Seasons. I adore these Zelda games and consider it funny that Capcom made the best Zelda games. Just super fun and creative with great sprite work, songs, dungeons, and new characters. I played these so much as a kid and bought them on the 3DS eShop the day they got ported. I need a Link's Awakening style remake for it, hopefully including the cut Oracle of Secrets content. They are just charming and delightfully underplayed Zelda games. Frankfurter agrees and says, The Legend of Zelda, Oracle of Ages / Seasons. I never finished the game when I had it back when I was a kid. However, I loved getting lost in that game. I even had a Choose Your Own Adventure book based off the game. It holds a special place in my heart.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Barrett, when I ask you to tell me about your Zelda game, what do you say?
I don't think I have an answer. I've been kind of thinking about this last night because, yeah, I think this is also my first time, like, officially on Remember Blank and not just, you know, part of the background there. And so I was thinking about this last night, and I don't think I have, like, one answer because I heavily associate certain games with, like, different parts of my life.
Sure.
Right? And so it's hard to just choose one. Like, you know, shout out to one of my earliest memories of getting the see-through green N64 with BK64 for Christmas. And, like, because I got that in 2000, I already had, like, a, you know, wide breadth of library to play from.
Wild.
Right? Yeah, it was wild.
Content.
And so, yeah, like, I heavily associate, like, the early days of, like, Ocarina of Time, you know, playing Link to the Past with my babysitter. And then, like, yeah, I would say, like, the kind of gap for me is, like, I never owned a GameCube, but I remember, like, playing through Wind Waker at, like, a friend's house, like, over a period of, like, weeks or months or whatever it was. And then, yeah, like, I remember in high school playing Skyward Sword and, like, borrowing a friend's Wii to play through Skyward Sword. And, like, that sticks out to me because that was the first time I was ever playing through a game. And I was like, I need to look up reviews for this because I'm not vibing with this game at all. And then, yeah, to see all the, like, the 10s and, yeah, and, like, all of the praise for this game. And I felt like I was the weird one. I was the weirdo.
Yeah, you're the outlier.
And then coming back to the franchise in 2013, maybe 2014 for A Link Between Worlds on the 3DS. And that felt like the kind of moment of, like, kind of recapturing my love for the series. And then, you know, Breath of the Wild was the first Zelda game to come out when I was in the industry. Like, I was 5 months at IGN. And so, yeah, I heavily associate, like, that era of my life with Breath of the Wild. And then Skyward Sword, weirdly, like, again, when I did Zelda in review, right, that was the first game that I played for that because I wanted to do in the weird, complicated timeline order. And that's Skyward Sword kind of starts it all off, right? And to kind of go back to Skyward Sword after, like, almost a decade and fall in love with it for different reasons. Like, I still had, like, my qualms with, like, gameplay and design and things, but appreciating more of the story and the lore and the characters. And so, yeah, it's just, like, a weird, like, I don't know if I have, like, just one game that I could identify as my Zelda game just because the franchise has lived as a whole throughout my entire life in different phases. But shout out to the Link to the Past comic that I had for the longest time. I think I still have it at home. And it's, like, for the longest time, that was, like, my Zelda thing. Like, I loved reading that thing back to back, and it was weird and goofy. And I think Link's personality, because they made him a non-silent protagonist, it's, like, somewhere in between of, like, what you think is, like, cool Link and, like, the CDI game Link. But yeah, I, like, adored that just for, like, the art and all that stuff. And yeah, there was a point where, like, I liked reading that more than, like, playing some of the games. And I don't know, it's a complicated answer, Greggy.
I love that there is a complicated answer. You know, for me, it's easily Ocarina of Time. And it's because, of course, I was a Sega kid, right? I think my Zelda knowledge before that was probably limited to, you know, seeing occasionally on shows. I remember, like, you know, back in my day, there'd be the TV show where the kids had to play through stuff fast on TV. I remember that's where I learned about Mega Man. That's where I did all the stuff. I don't think it was Dick Arcade. It was syndicated on, like, WFLD Chicago, ooh, Fox 32. I was catching kids playing Mega Man or whatever the hell these competitions were at the time. And so, you know, I remember being at my cousin's house. I came over to visit when we must have been, like, 5, 6, 7, somewhere in there. And, you know, my older cousin was like, I got there and he was like, hey, hi, bye, I'm leaving. And my younger cousin was like, you know, don't you want to hang out? Like, Greg's never here or whatever. And he's like, he picked up the gold cartridge for his Zelda NES and he's like, whatever, Brandon next door has a Game Genie. Don't you want to see this game get beaten? And he left. And he was like, we're finally going to get revenge on this game and beat this game.
Love that.
And so you jump to, yeah, you know, N64. I was in high school. N64 was the fun machine. You know, I think at this point I already bought mine and was, you know, playing No Mercy, or, well, WCW, NWO, Revenge probably at the time. Playing that, playing GoldenEye. Like, you know, I was going to people's houses and I remember, for Mike O'Brien, what a huge deal it was when Ocarina of Time was coming. Mm. And when it finally dropped, he got the gold cartridge. You know, we go over there on Fridays to watch wrestling and eat Sir Nick's pizza and party or whatever. And party is like, you know, you did as like, you know, getting dropped off by your mom and then eventually driving over there. And I remember, like, there just being this huge argument between Mike and Jay all the time about if it was Ganondorf or Ganondorf.
Love
and,
that.
And they went back
that's Zelda, dude. Kakariko yeah. or Kakaroko.
It was Ganon, like, oh, yeah,
oh, Ganondorf. Oh, Ganondorf. Ganondorf. Come over here and do this, Ganondorf. He's like, you're an idiot. Like that.
That's great.
But I remember watching it and talking some vague shit to it or whatever and like never really doing it. And I remember like... A Blockbuster was closing because even then Blockbusters were closing. And I went to a sale and they were selling all these games, the loose cartridges, and they had a whole bunch of the gold Ocarina of Times, and I didn't buy it. And I told Mike, and he's like, "You're a fucking idiot. Like, yeah. you're gonna regret that decision."
He was.
And so at the end of that school year, I was getting ready to take the ACT.
And shout he was out like, to the ACT.
Shout out to the ACT and all these fucking.
Not the SAT.
No,
the ACT.
Take them both. Why not? Mike's like, listen, you're going to love this game. Just try it. And he gave me the cartridge and the guide or whatever they had for it. And I was like, okay. And it was that thing where I started it the night before the ACTs and I played it to like 3 a.m. You yeah. know what I mean? Like, not the smartest decision, but I was so enamored with the game.
Yeah.
And like, that was my Zelda. That was my first time learning any of this. And like, you know, I think it's so funny to play Zelda's now, and it is like, okay, you're Link, and you're this, or you're the fairyless boy, or whatever. You know, they're always, you know, they're building on it, but for it to be fresh and me to know none of it, like, yeah, to know nothing about it, like, that was such an awesome way to jump in. And, like, you know, the other story I've told before, I know, but I actually don't talk about Zelda, I feel, as much as I talk about everything else, you know, was always going to be that I was in English class in high school. They were like, you know, you have to write we're doing sample college essays. You have to write an essay comparing and contrasting two different time periods. And they gave you the list of books you could use. And I had read none of those books, but I had played Ocarina of Time. And so sure as shit, I wrote this essay about like what it was like to go there as young Link, get the Master Sword, right? Pull it out, come out and have it of the Temple of Time, right? And have it be all the zombie mummy people and all that stuff. And like
the redeads,
you know, I got a B on it. Like, he was like, listen, you need to read more books, but this is really well done. And you know, you run like,
that's great.
That's that into Majora's Mask, right? Which was awesome.
Of course.
Like for me, again, never having played a Zelda, like, oh, cool. We're getting a sequel to this Link. I didn't really understand it, but I was, like, so into it because it was my Link. And, like, what a time to be alive.
It's funny you say that. And Barrett, you bringing up the Link to the Past comic book of, like, that kind of being your Zelda thing. Like, so I, with Oracle of Ages and all that and Seasons, I got so into it. And I loved Zelda. At that point, I was like, I want more. But, like, it's not today where you couldn't just, like, oh, I want to play an old game. And you just play the old game.
Right.
And even going back to the old NES ones, I still didn't love them. I still was like, oh, this is not what I'm expecting from the experience. And I didn't have access to Ocarina. My best friend Curry, and it was one of his, Final Fantasy VII and Ocarina were like his favorite games ever. Great taste. And I just had never played it. I didn't get to play Ocarina really until in the lead up to Wind Waker. There was a, if you pre-ordered Wind Waker, you got a promotional disc that had Zelda 1, 2, Ocarina, and
Master Quest.
Yeah, I remember that.
And so that was like my first time really playing that. But before then, I remember in the lead up to Majora's Mask, I would every single EGM or Nintendo Power about Majora's Mask, I would read every single detail, even though I had not even played Ocarina yet, and I wasn't going to be able to play Majora's Mask because I didn't have an expansion pack for my N64. So, like, I didn't play Majora's Mask.
You needed to get N64 that came with it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But there was just something about Majora's Mask that was so cool. Like, the purple, the darkness
very
of it.
Very creepy.
The
design,
like,
of that mask is awesome.
I was obsessed with drawing Majora's Skull Kid and all that when I was a little kid, and I hadn't even played the game. So... then Wind Waker, as that was coming out, I was really excited for it, and I played through it, and I loved it, but there was something about it, like, because of the tenor of how everyone was talking about the game, at launch, it didn't feel that special. It didn't feel what we wanted.
Yeah, and that's why, with me being so young at the time, like, I'm not fucking paying attention to what everybody else is saying. Like, I don't even know if at the time I really knew anybody outside of my friend who had the GameCube that really talked about Zelda, because I remember... It was the first time I played Wind Waker wasn't at his house. It was at a Toys R Us with the video
demo
game
station.
Section.
So it was the demo from Wind Waker.
The demo. You got to sneak around. And I remember just being like head over heels immediately for the art style, Toon Link. Yeah, the creepy, like,
I love
like
it,
the design, the fucking awesome design of, I forget what that temple is, but when you have to go there for the first time and you don't have the sword or anything, you feel so powerless. And anytime one of the Bokoblins sees you, it's like immediately like you're getting captured and kicked off. And then when you come back later and you all powered up and you're just like breezing through it, it's like one of the coolest things. And so, like, I remember getting to that part for the first time I played Wind Waker, like after playing the demo and playing it at my friend's house, but I never remember like fully beating it. Like that, like all of everything probably past the second time you go there was all new to me when I like went back to it in Zelda in Review.
Yeah, Wind Waker again was like, you know, the build up to it, right? It's the next one after the N64 ones that I fell in love with, right? And my Wind Waker memory is I also don't remember the scuttlebutt around. I don't think I was. It's weird because I was reading EGM, obviously. Mm-hmm. I was online, but I guess I wasn't on like forums and message boards to really get the audience's uptake as much as like, oh, like whatever Shu thinks of this is, you know, whatever. And so maybe there was respectful debate there, but I thought it looked cool. And again, yeah. I had no attachment to the series. This is my third game in it. Like, what's up? Let's go. This seems neat. And what my memory for that will always be is that I had my TV in college in my room, obviously, and then we had a common space where we'd play Kart and we'd play Toadstool Tour and play everything out there or whatever. But like that, I had bought my own GameCube for Metal Gear Solid, Twin Snakes, and then, you know, RE and stuff like that. So I had it in the room, and when I got Wind Waker, that was like when all the antlers, like who were just like coming by to get a beer, do whatever, blah, they would pile into my room and just watch. It was like the first theater like Let's Play experience I had for me, where it was that I would just sit there and play. And I remember Greg Stotler sitting there drinking a beer and be like, "Oh my god, like how are you doing? What is this puzzle? Well, do this and turn that and do that." Like I was like, "This is so fucking cool."
Yeah, man, it's funny because like I was when Wind Waker was coming out, it must have been like 10, 11, 12, somewhere around there, and that was when I was like addicted to EGM and like reading everything and being on GameFAQs, being on forums and stuff. And EGM, like they had a fairly anti GameCube slant, I would say, for a while. And like a lot of the opinion I had about the potential of Wind Waker was led by what other people were saying, as opposed to getting my own hands on it. And again, I ended up really enjoying the game when I played it, but it always felt, because of the conversation, like it was lesser than, like it didn't matter as much, which we all now know is silly looking back.
Of course,
but
so good
because of all that. That meant that for me being more like 13 to 16 in the lead up to Twilight Princess, like going back to your question of Greg or Tim, what is your Zelda game? It's like, it is Oracle of Ages and Seasons in terms of what actually got me into the franchise.
Yeah.
Twilight Princess is my game in the sense of like every piece of information. I was scouring the screenshots, reading every single thing. There wasn't bit breakdowns to watch, but I would have watched them all. Yeah. Every gameplay thing clip that was released, I watched 1,000 times. My desktop wallpaper was the art of Wolf Link and Link. Like, I was obsessed with Twilight Princess and the lead in.
Cool
that.
Game. Very cool game.
That was an amazing time. Like, you know what I mean? The build up, and it was going to be the Wii version,
exactly.
Right? Like, it's going to be this new console. It's going to be this new thing. You know, this is like, I am not professionally covering video games, but I am kind of. This is after the Tribune had given me my video game column and blog, so I was covering the Wii, and it was a big deal. And so the build-up to that, like, again, coming off of, man, 3 for 3 amazing Zelda games. I can't fucking wait, yada, yada, yada. And I remember, you know, Twilight Princess, I don't remember fondly. I don't remember negatively. Mm. It just didn't hit the way the last three had done.
Yeah.
My Twilight Princess memories are, of course, the Wii, getting it, thinking it would be what would be played every day, when in reality it was Wii Sports, because it was like, what the fuck is this? And everyone in the house, everybody wanted to do it, right? But then it was also the fact that for Twilight Princess, that was when my ex sat next to me and like quietly got sick of watching me fail and like looked at a guide on I guess a laptop, not even her phone, right? It was like, well, I, like gave out the fake things for a little
maybe.
Bit. And I was like, well, what about that thing? I was like, bah. And then she also called the bad guy Fringe Fingers because he did this
with
and draped fringes. And I was like, that's funny as hell.
Zant, I think his name.
Yeah.
Shout out to Zant. He's such a pathetic weeb. Oh shit! What was I was gonna say something about Twilight Princess and I blanked on it.
We can kick to somebody else if you want, because let me tell you, everybody wrote in about everything, and I love it. We have many diverse things, but a million it goes. And we'll go to Tyler Washington, who writes into kindoffunny.com/rememberblink and says, "Twilight Princess will always be my Zelda for multiple reasons. I had always been a Link main in Smash, but never completed a Zelda game, even though I'd play everyone from Link's Awakening till that point in time. So, as a challenge for my friends, they said either I rent Twilight Princess, RIP Blockbuster, beat it in a week, or get a new main because I was a fake fan and too good. I'd go on to beat Twilight Princess in 5 days with time to spare and still a Link main to this day. But the memories and adventures I had as the elf man in green will last a lifetime. Here's to hoping Tears of the Kingdom will run on our Switches." Laughy emoji.
I do remember what I was going to say, and it's all kind of credit to you, Tim. Of kind of the road that got me down to In Review eventually was, I remember So in the first couple months of me being here at Kind of Funny, you shared a video probably on like in Internet Explorers or something from Good Blood. And it was a video breakdown of why Ocarina of Time is the saddest Zelda game. And it was
very up your alley.
Yes. And but it was really
brand.
Yeah, it was really that video that got me into the lore of everything more so than I'd ever like really been into. Like I liked the separate stories and little teases here and there of like how games connect, but it was really of like watching that Good Blood video, really like diving deep into like the really just dark things that Ocarina kind of covers, but is like a little bit more of the subtext really. And then that eventually got me down the rabbit hole of watching YouTubers like Zeltic and becoming super obsessed with lore. And then like finding all of these like really vague like Easter eggs and Breath of the Wild, like shouting out like all of these different games. So it was like that really like led me down to like just being obsessed with how all the games interconnect in the timeline, which led to in review. So it's your fault.
It is my fault.
It's your fault. Yeah, I made that 4-hour video.
I love it. Everyone should go check that out. If you want more Zelda stuff, more hype leading into Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah, this is gonna be the slowest fucking week imaginable. So yeah, like, you know, kill 4 hours there.
Ben M writes in about Twilight Princess, and I thought this was a sweet one. It's not even really the game, but the fact that I would get stuck on a puzzle, and I would explain it to my mom, and somehow she would always help me solve the puzzle.
Love.
Shout out to mom for always putting up with my ramblings. I love that idea.
That is great. You know, there is something about Zelda that I was saying earlier that I was too young to really understand the first ones, but like I think Zelda is a great family game in a lot of ways. Where,
oh, for
like,
sure.
Being able to play with adults and them kind of helping out, and like you get to have fun, but then it becomes a communal experience. Like I know a lot of people that like Curran really bonded with his older sisters because they kind of like helped him play through Ocarina for the first time. And I just like, I know a lot of people with those stories, and like that's not a necessarily unique thing to Zelda, but in the same way you're saying like everyone's writing in about every game, like Zelda has been around for so long, like since essentially the dawn of video games as we know them now. And there's been important revolutionary entries every couple years. And that revolution means something to every generation in a different way where, you know, flash forward 10 years, like people are going to be talking about Tears of the Kingdom and Breath of the Wild in the same way we're talking about Ocarina and Link to the Past. And they're probably going to be talking about like whatever other weird ones end up coming out.
It's what makes it special, right? I think, and it is the fact that, you know, it's always going to start the same way, you know, give or take. I'm not trying to... It's not like I'm insulting the franchise, but it starts the same way, and then it is this grand adventure, right, of saving the princess, stopping the ultimate evil. There's going to be puzzles. There's going to be dungeons. There's going to be cool stories, and like it ebbs and flows into what that looks like and how that works and where you go, but you're still going to have those moments, right? I think of Zelda has wow moments that always stand out, right? Like for me, of course, it's a tired one, I think, for everybody who played it. But when you opened up into Hyrule Field in Ocarina, right? And you're like, what the fuck?
Chills.
And it's just in front of you, right? Yep. And that way out. In the same way of Breath of the Wild, when it was, you jump off the plateau and you're there. Or first time you find the divine beasts, these giant things lumbering through the world. And you're going to go in there and fight again.
My first chill for Breath of the Wild, because, I was at IGN. I remember, like, I didn't have a code. Like, I think at the time, like, Nintendo sent IGN 3 codes for Breath of the Wild. One was the reviewer, one was guides, one was, I think, for the gameplay team. But I wasn't the one on the gameplay team actually, like, playing the game, recording clips. But, like, everybody would send me their shit to, like, schedule out of, like, okay, like, this is embargo time, let's have all these clips. So I was, like, editing a lot of footage. So I saw a lot of this stuff before I actually got to play it. And so, like, that first, like, major hour or so, like when you're on the Great Plateau, I was like, okay, this is cool, but I've like seen this a little bit before and all that stuff. So the big moment for me personally, when I finally got to play Breath of the Wild, is when you're kind of, when you go past the Dueling Peaks and then you hear like the remix of Epona's song and then you find the horse stable, because I had not seen that in any gameplay that I had edited, and that was like holy fuck, this is awesome.
Love it.
I'll never get that memory out of my head. And then to talk about family a little bit, like my dad's not like a huge like gamer, but he is always like he's a Nintendo kid essentially, and like he was a late bloomer when it came to Zelda, because he was more into like the fun collectathon 3D platformers, DK64, Mario 64, all that. But outside of Link to the Past, like he didn't really get into the other Zelda games until probably like I was already living here and in high school, and like him and I would like be on phone calls every once in a while, and he's like, hey, do you know how to get this, like, this chest that I'm trying to figure out? And so, like, I love that he's, like, also had this, like, resurgence in, like, the last, like, decade, and, like, always going back and, like, replaying them. And that's why, like, I'm so fucking excited for him to get here so I can give him my Switch OLED and, like, be able to give him Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom. And then also because, like, I already have, like, I made him an account, and I've added him to my family plan, so he'll also get, like, the Super Nintendo games, the N64 games, that's and awesome. All that. So, yeah.
It's time to be your dad.
Yeah.
Chris Truxess writes in to kindoffunny.com/rememberblank, just like you can, and says, the OG. I got it on a sick day in elementary school and was completely blown away. I don't even remember how I had even heard of it. Just remember getting that ticket at Toys R Us and going to that weird closet to pick it up. Gameplay-wise, just being able to save your game was an innovation.
Shout out to the weird Toys R Us.
That's mainly why I read it. Like, I want to give the original.
Do you remember the weird Toys R Us closet?
Oh, I live the original Toys R Us closet. Do you? Because I would have thought that would have not been gone by the time you were there, too.
I mean, I just...
Do you have the tickets, like, off the
I don't remember the tickets, but I just... Okay. I remember the closet and just, like, just being able to, like...
Such a weird way to check out for games, that you go there with your ticket. You, if you don't remember because you're young, I understand. It would be that there was giant glass cases of video games. This is my thing. I'm always slamming my finger against it when I saw Ghostbusters in there. And then there'd be the little tickets hanging on in a little plastic, like, basically name badge. You'd pull that. You'd go there. You'd get there. They'd scan it. That you'd put, your parents would pay for it. Then you would go with your receipt to the little weird cabinet where a guy would look at it and give you whatever Game Boy, NES, any Super NES game you were gonna get.
It's so special, man. Like, that is so, like, special. It's like such a
maybe, like, I had like a remnant of it because I don't remember the whole ticket system, but I remember that setup. So yeah. I don't know, like,
they might have changed it by that, you know, by the time you were in there getting stuff or whatever.
Yeah, the two things for me, like the 90s gaming buying experience was it was one of three things. It was either Toys R Us with the slips. You just go to Blockbuster and you rent it. You're not actually going to buy it.
But
that was such a way people played games then. And the last one would be at Funko Land, which was like used what turned into GameStop essentially. And they have this newspaper every month that they would release that had the price of all the used games.
What they pay for
and also what they would pay if you turned your games in.
So you'd have that, and you'd have your piece of paper and your pencil, and you'd write in the margins, like, if I had all this,
if I have this, and add this, you highlight it. It was just a trade-a-thon of, like, constantly doing it. And it was so funny because, like I remember there'd be points where, like, Super Mario and Duck Hunt, like, the combo card, it'd be 9 cents you could buy. And you're like, why even sell it? But, what a time.
Your parents are like, hey, are you, practicing for your math test? Like, no, I'm just fucking figuring out GameStop. Like,
and that must have been one of those first times we were all using math. They must have been stoked to see you doing something with this, you know what I mean? Not hating it. Kai, also known as Arvel Crynid, writes in and says, The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening, the OG Game Boy version. I've only had the original Game Boy since 1991, and Link's Awakening was one of my games for it. I fell in love with the beautiful island of Koholint. Am I saying that right? And its magical wonders and beautiful melodies. Looking at you, the Ballad of the Windfish, one of the most beautiful chiptune pieces of music of all time.
Yeah.
Back in the day, we had this free magazine called Club Nintendo here in Germany, which I think was basically a German version of Nintendo Power. I think it was monthly or bi-monthly magazine, and they had regular walkthroughs in their magazines long before there were IGN guides or YouTube walkthroughs. Anyway, once Link's Awakening came out, they printed the maps of Koholint piece by piece. So at some point, I took all the magazines with me to some local shop with a copy printer, made a copy of all the sub-maps, and pasted them together in one large piece of scrap paper.
Looking like Charlie Day.
Right? Well, at that point, Photoshop was still something from the future, and some of the copied maps were not scaled correctly towards each other, and so the stitch panorama was not well aligned. But I had it then, the beautiful map of Koholint in its entire glory. I think I was 14 at the time, but I was quite happy about this. Now, 30 years later, it's actually quite funny because there are dozens of sellers who sell Koholint maps or posters on canvas screens at Etsy. I never had this kind of connection to any other Zelda game. Therefore, this is my Zelda game.
Video games are cool, man. They love it.
Cool. Yeah, of course. It's going to be interesting to see, like you're talking about, in 10, 20 years later, whoever's doing kind of funny content has grown up listening to Barrett talk will be the old
Ben
man
Jr.
Now. Yeah, Ben Jr. Ben's already had a son. Oh, yeah. And they're talking about, Tears of the Kingdom was my Zelda game. You know, my dad, Ben. The 19-month-old got it and showed it to me and did all this stuff. And video games are cool. This is what I love so much about sitting there and talking about all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I hope you like talking about it too, ladies and gentlemen. Remember, of course, this is Remember Blank. It doesn't exist without you. We are looking for you to remember Final Fantasy, you to remember Street Fighter, you to remember E3, PlayStation Conference, Xbox. I have a whole bunch of new questions up on Remember Blank. If you go to kindoffunny.com/rememberblank, it is free to submit to. But of course, this is a Patreon exclusive show. So even if it was paid, you'd be there anyway. We love you. We thank you for support. Remember, of course, if embargoes have timed out, the Gamescast review of Tears of the Kingdom is up right now. Go check it out. Share it with your friends. And of course, stay tuned for this crazy summer game fest. Ooh. I have an email here that's going to break Tim's heart when I tell him about it afterwards.
No!
It's one of those things, though. That's great news. We won't be in town yet. Be in town yet for that one. But it's also one of those where I think you might be crazy enough to try to make it work. We'll talk about it. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Remember Blank. Like I said, kindoffunny.com/rememberblank to be part of the show. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.